Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Wendy Snyder here with you, sitting in for Bob Surratt today, and now our daily check-in with Joseph Lindsley. Joseph, you sent this song. What are we listening to?
This is a song by Ukrainian rock star Slava Varkachuk, and he's an interesting example, I think, of the vitality of Ukraine's creative culture. He has a PhD in physics. He served as a member of parliament twice, and he nearly ran for president against Zelensky. And Ukraine, I mean, in the most recent presidential election, which I guess was 2019, Ukrainians wanted an artist. They were tired of oligarchs, and so they elected an actor. But one of the candidates was also this guy singing the song. And one of the lines from this song is, how hard does the merciless rain hit the soul? And I think it kind of resonates these days. And this particular musician has been traveling the country to play for soldiers in the trenches and to boost their spirits, because as we've talked about in the show before, Ukrainians, they need music. It's so much a part of their identity.
That is great that he is entertaining the troops out there. I read your story that you posted on UkrainianFreedomNews.com. You just give me chills every time we talk to you and I read your material. But what I'm getting out of this is you have pretty much been told not to trust people out there. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and I think what I wanted to do in that story is reflect a little bit of the madness of war for everyone. I mean, you know, some people knew this was coming. I had a bad feeling that it was going to happen. But from February 24th, it became very crazy. And in the weeks leading up to the war, there were lots of strange people in Lviv. And we had good information. I had good information from friends in Washington that there were Russian operatives, because they were thinking that cities like Lviv were going to fall within a matter of days. It was almost like a zombie apocalypse, and you're just waiting for the Russians to, you know, tear off their masks. So we had that environment. And then as the war, you know, especially in the first months of the war, you had so many foreign volunteers coming and a lot of great, noble people. But you also had some kind of wildcat folks, and a lot of people started to talk sort of trash about other people. And it, for my friends and I, my colleagues, it became a very difficult thing to say, okay, who can we really trust in this? And there was a bit of that madness. I think now it's in a bit of a calmer phase. But it is that is part of, you know, maybe one unexpected thing of the war. How, you know, each individual person, you have to realize who can you trust. And, you know, in the early hours, people were patrolling their neighborhoods, you know, wondering who might be a Russian spy. And now it's calm. Like, for example, even when I walk here in the mountains, I hear the Russian language sometimes, because there are many refugees from the Russian-speaking parts of eastern Ukraine, and you don't question that. But in the early weeks of the war, it was a game of madness.
I can only imagine that. It's called Emptiness of War, Fullness of Humanity, Part 1 of 2. You can find it at UkrainianFreedomNews.com. We're getting a report here from Amnesty International saying that Ukrainian fighting tactics are endangering their own civilians. What can you say about that?
This, I mean, my response there is, I mean, this is, it's astounding. That was the name of the report. Ukrainian fighting tactics endanger civilians. Every civilian, every single person in this country has been endangered since February 24th, when Russia began by hitting you know, city centers, especially Kyiv and Kharkiv. And in this report from Amnesty, they say that Ukrainian soldiers have been, resting and milling about and taking meals in hospitals. They have to take meals somewhere. And they've been using civilian places for lodging. I mean, think about it. When the war started, it was extremely cold. It was Ukrainian winter. Were they supposed to sleep outside? I mean, these are their homes they're defending. And another thing to keep in mind is that a lot of the soldiers were civilians. They joined the territorial defense to defend their country. But these are people that were artists or chefs or bartenders or welders, working, you know, or insurance salesmen or tech geniuses, and they put on the uniform because they had no choice. So these soldiers, really, a lot of them until February, were civilians. And all of this is missed in this strange report from Amnesty International. and sort of missing that that Ukraine is guilty of war crimes in this sense, and it misses the entire point that Russia invaded a peaceful innocent nation, and it really is. And you know, Amnesty has, I don't think they've ever come down so hard, for example, on Hamas in Gaza, where there are also instances of, you know, using human beings as shields. And this, Wendy, there's this topsy-turvy thing that I have a hard time understanding. For example, right now, I guess yesterday in Texas, the Hungarian Prime Minister, Viktor Orban, spoke to the Conservative Political Action Committee. And these are people that, you know, they always talk about freedom. And in fact, in his speech in Texas, he said, "We are fighting for the freedom of the West." Orban is one of the leading opponents of supporting Ukraine fully. He's a Ukraine skeptic, and he's a friend of Putin, or a pal of Putin. And he's been the one leader in Europe holding up some of the sanctions. And a lot of the people at this CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee gathering, side with Russia. And these are people that we've mentioned before, like Tucker Carlson. It's so bizarre that here they are, they're there in the safety of America talking about how they're fighting for freedom. I mean, they could actually come here and fight. That there is an actual opportunity at the moment to fight for freedom. And so I have a hard time, and I think and this is part of a problem in America, is that we're so awash in rhetoric. But Ukraine is actually the country that they, in their rhetoric, you would think they would love. It's a country of strong family values. It's a safe country. You know, kids can walk the streets, except when Russians are shooting. Religion is strong, traditions are strong. At the same time, it's extremely tolerant. And so strangely, they somehow miss that and think that the Russia is this amazing country where you have no free speech in Russia. Putin controls everything. Zelensky doesn't control. He's a representative of the people. I sometimes hear Americans say that he's a dictator. Ukrainians don't even listen to the police. If you get pulled over, you argue with the cop and you make a deal and everything's fine. So I'm confused by the amnesty situation. I'm confused by the American political response.
Well, thankfully, we have you to clear things up. We hope you have a very safe weekend. I sure hope you got that swim in yesterday in the river.
I didn't, but I went this morning.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay, great. Well, you have a safe weekend, okay? And Bob will be back on Monday.
Hey, Wendy, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
You as well. Thank you so much. He's Joseph Lindsley from Ukraine. And read his story, UkrainianFreedomNews.com.